Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcast Podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I'm here with Zach Rosenblatt. We're at the Lowell Stevens Football Facility. We just got out of the Rich Rod Monday press conference. We'll talk about some of the stuff that he said about Oregon State and looking ahead to Oregon as well. Apologies to everybody out there for not having a Friday podcast. We ran into some technical difficulties. Hopefully we've got all of that squared away in the future and that will not be a problem again. But speaking of Rich Rod, he talked a little bit about how the OSU first half was the best first half that they have played this year. Let's listen to his comments, and then we'll come back and talk about some stuff.
The first half was maybe as well as we've played all year as a group. It was the best half our defense had played for sure, and really proud because it was a different schemes and shifts and motions, and thought the defensive staff did a really nice job getting them ready. In the second half, you got to give them credit. They moved the ball. But we had big enough lead offensively. And when you're able to run the football, it takes some time off the clock as well. And it was a great win for our seniors. I'm really proud and kind of excited to see them get carried off the field afterwards. It's pretty neat.
So maybe it was obvious that it was their best defensive half of the year in that they shut out Oregon State. But I was a little bit surprised to hear Rich Rod say it. The thing is, though, Zach, Oregon State, you know, the most anemic offense in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like sort of like, how much can you take out of that?
Their quarterback had one touchdown pass, I think, coming in.
And now he has five, which is not exactly great. And the defense didn't play great in the second half. So I guess my question is, how much can you take away from that performance from the defensive side of things?
Not much, honestly. I mean, you take more away from this. I mean, they were blowing them out, so I almost don't even know if you could take that away, but they struggle with the same things they've been struggling with all year, which is downfield runners, big guy, Ryan Nall. Thomas Tyner did pretty well. I don't know what his size is, but
he runs really hard.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
And it doesn't stop going forward. They have Royce Freeman this week, who, you know, we almost say this all the time, but he might be the most talented big running back they will have faced in terms of like that style runner. And in the week after that, they have DeMario Richard or Richard on ASU. So teams are, at this point in the season, teams know what they can and can't do. Like, you just know. And they know that they can't stop that. So why would if a team was smart, I don't know if Oregon State coached very smartly in the first half. Not that I know more than Corey Hall or anything, but teams are going to attack that. And if they don't shore up the tackling, I mean, you asked Rich about Scotty Young. It would help to get him back. But even with him back, you know, he's a safety all the way in the back. If the linebackers and defensive tackles aren't getting enough blocks and bringing guys down and the tackling technique's been pretty poor, if that doesn't get better, then they might not win the last two games.
Sure. So, by the way, I think DeMario Richard is on the ASU hockey team.
Is he really?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I'm really gullible. You can't say something
anyway,
like that.
So, Rich was talking about how they are an undersized defense, right? Now, I don't really think in the main defensive tackles that they play, Luca Bruno and Derek Bowles, they're both in excess of 290 pounds. I don't know if you could say they're undersized, but look at Schooler. Look at Fields. They're both freshmen. They have not had a chance to spend a year in the weight room. Look at the back end of things. I mean, Lorenzo Burns is a redshirt freshman. He's still probably about 180. Jace Whitaker's not a real big guy. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles has bulked up from about 160 to in excess of 200 pounds at this point. But, you know, he's a third-year player. You kind of expect that. Dane Cruikshank, he's got decent size at around 205.
He was coming from cornerback.
He's coming from corner, so you know. And then, you know, Jarius Wallace, you know, he tried really hard in that game, but he's just not really big and stout enough to stop a guy like Ryan Nall. And might not be big and stout enough to stop a guy like Royce Freeman, who you mentioned is probably the best big back they will have faced this season. We will, of course, talk more about the Oregon game a little bit later. But, you know, the thing that stood out to me the most about this Oregon State game was just how well they executed on offense. I mean, they always talked about last year, we didn't execute. It was sort of like the stock answer for anything that went wrong ever. And the truth was that they had so many injuries last year that it made it almost impossible to execute.
And when you're now, playing a tight end, a quarterback, and a wide receiver, a running back, that's going to happen.
Right. Those are problems. Those are issues. So now they've got this thing rolling. They're relatively healthy, right? They've got the quarterback. And, man, they were executing those plays extremely well. Everybody was hitting their targets in the blocking in their blocking assignments. And they have the athletes to take advantage of that. I mean, to me, if they can keep doing that, I don't know if it matters who they're facing or where they're facing them. I feel like they can win ball games.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, it's almost like an overspoken thing that the offensive line isn't talked about enough. But even more than that, I feel like the offensive line coach isn't talked about. I think Jim Mihalchuk has done throughout his career, really, because he's, you know, he's kept a pretty consistent line and he's developed guys over years. And that's what you want to see out of a coach. He might be one of their best coordinators they have. But, yeah, I mean, if their line keeps blocking like this, if their receivers and tight ends, hats on hats, as you've described it and Rich Rod described it, like, they have the best rushing attack maybe in the country if you consider who they're doing against Pac-12 teams, because Army and Navy, I think, are the only teams ahead of them, and they run in every single play, even more than Arizona. But, I mean, as Jacob Alsadek said it, we're going to do it, and we still are going to win it. Like, and they can just say, well, we're going to run it at you right now, and they can get it. And anytime you can do that, you're going to have a chance in every game, especially when you have a guy like Khalil Tate who is literally going to bust at least a 40-yard-plus touchdown every week. Like, and the threat of that, I mean, the fact that he was as – I mean, he had a lot of space, but he still ran by some dudes who had angles on him. And it's just – this offense, you know, it's almost unstoppable right now. I mean, they don't even pass the ball. It's remarkable.
I thought going into last year that the offensive line was going to be a real strength for the team.
Yeah, we weren't that sure this year, yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't happen, and, you know, looking back on it, you know, you have to take into consideration the Zach Hemmela situation. I mean, the projected starting center dies tragically at the start of training camp. I think that was a setback for that unit, for the team, something that was really hard to deal with for them emotionally. I mean, I don't feel that, like it gets talked about that much, yeah. But, I mean, can you imagine something like that happening?
Even beyond the emotional part of it, he was their center, and the center is maybe the most important part of the line.
Right.
Which, speaking of that, I mean, not to cut away from what you were saying, but, I mean, Nathan Eldridge, you almost don't even hear his name, which is a good thing, which means he's snapping the ball well and he's doing his job up front.
I noticed rewatching the game that there were a bunch of low snaps on the Oregon State side of things, and that just throws off the timing of plays, and I felt like that happened a lot more last year than it's happening this year, and the timing is essential in this Rich Rod offense, but, yeah, I really like how the offensive line is playing. I remember my old friend Lane Kiffin would say that in order to win on the road, you have to pack your running game and your defense. So I feel like Arizona's got at least one of those two things going for it, right? So I don't think the defense needs to play great for them to at least split these last two games. Need to be a little bit more opportunistic. I think Oregon State had only one turnover in that game. That came at the end. It would be nice to kind of get that going again. But as I've written before, and many, you know, statisticians have written, you know, you can't really rely on turnovers. You know, it's not something that just happens every single week. You can emphasize it. It's good to play aggressively, of course. But it's not something you can depend on. They need to get more stops. And it's going to be a big challenge at Oregon, especially if Justin Herbert plays, which segues us into the back half of our podcast here. We don't know for sure if Justin's going to play. It could be Braxton Burmeister. Let's hear what Rich had to say about preparing for two quarterbacks, and then we'll talk about Oregon's QB situation a little bit.
Thank you, Perrin. I think they'll do the same system. You know, they probably can do more with Justin because he's got more experience, but the word is that they have an open day. I had an open date last week, and then he'll be ready to go. So we'll prepare for both of them.
All right, so you heard Rich talking about the Oregon quarterback situation, kind of like the Arizona quarterback situation last year, where you kind of never knew what was going to happen in any given week.
Threw in a true freshman before they wanted to. And,
right, yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
They definitely didn't want to play Burmeister this year, that's for sure.
They did not. So if Justin Herbert plays, he was really good at the start of the season, playing as well as any quarterback in the Pac-12. Their points per game were way up. They were winning. I think they were 4-1 with him, and they're 1-4 without him. So that pretty much tells the tale.
I feel like people kind of forgot about how good he was.
Right. So he had a broken left clavicle or collarbone, and he's on track to play. He's been practicing. The question is, when they go look at the x-rays, you know, is that bone going to be healed? Can he take contact? Can he take a hit? Obviously, that's not happening in practice. You know, you can go and throw the ball just fine, but can you take a hit? So that's going to be kind of the thing to monitor from Eugene this week. I'm fortunate to be sitting here with Zach, who's kind of our foremost Braxton Burmeister expert in the city of Tucson. You did a whole story with him and his family in San Diego. You talked to him multiple times. He committed to Arizona two different times and then ended up backing out. What do you remember about him as a high school player or as a kid? And if he ends up playing in this game, what can Arizona expect?
Yeah. Well, you know, Arizona got him to commit really early, which it doesn't happen that often. It's usually with, like, quarterbacks, it seems like. But they had him committed as a sophomore, which is very early in the process, before he started blowing up. So it's reasonable to think that, you know, the other schools started coming in and he started questioning whether he wanted to stay with Arizona. So he decommitted once. He visited a couple other schools, decided he wanted to go to Arizona. He had a great relationship with Rod Smith. And so he recommitted about 4 months later, I think, when Arizona's recruiting class is in the midst of, like, a hot streak. Greg Johnson had committed. And, you know, he was a centerpiece of this class. There was people who thought he would compete to start this year. You know, who knows if the situation would be differently if he was here. But he decided, you know, well, I would say he was literally days away from moving in. I literally talked to, like, his mom on a Friday, and she was talking about how they were going to move in, like, that Tuesday or Wednesday. And then Saturday, all of a sudden, Oregon offers him a scholarship, and then everybody goes radio silent. And it was one of the weirder, wilder recruiting events that I've ever seen, just because there were so many rumors going around, and he didn't show up to Arizona, and people thought he was still considering Arizona, but was seriously considering Oregon. Then it was like, he's definitely going to Oregon. Like, wait, maybe he's not. Then he ended up at Oregon, and Rod Smith, like, really, really liked him. I don't know how much Rod will be willing to talk about him this week, but he had a really good relationship with his family. I know he used to talk to Braxton Burmeister every week after his games, and they, like, would go over what he did, what he didn't do. I mean, that's a relationship that's been built over literally, like, years. So that was a tough loss, whether or not he's, you know, come out and been a star at Oregon yet. But in terms of what he brings, you know, he's young. He probably isn't ready to play yet. He's not the athlete that Khalil is, so he can't, like, make up for it like Khalil can. He's really smart, though, and he's hardworking, and I think he'll be good down the line. But if they, you know, they certainly would rather play him than Justin Herbert.
If you mean Arizona.
Arizona. Yeah, phrasing there. I mean, because Herbert he's good. And the biggest thing with Herbert will be, you know, Arizona probably wishes Oregon wasn't coming off a bye, because at the very least they can get Herbert acclimated maybe if he's healthy enough. And then he's a little more ready than he would have been, but he's still going to be rusty, you would think. So Arizona's, in terms of the quarterback play, they're at least in a good position to start out the game, regardless of who plays.
Right. I think that Herbert is a touchdown difference. You know, like, I kind of would maybe, I think the line came out as a pick 'em. I think.
I mean, how many close games has Oregon lost because they couldn't complete a pass?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, Rich said that Braxton Burmeister's been playing well. I think he was being nice. Like you said, he wasn't supposed to play this year.
Yeah.
You know, remember when Khalil Tate got thrown in last year, he was not ready. He's not close to the player that he is now. Very rare for a true freshman to come in and play quarterback at the highest levels of college football. He's a bit of an undersized guy.
Although Herbert was a true freshman last year.
He was, but I don't think he played at the beginning of the season.
No, he did.
He's also a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Too. I feel like, you know, that gives
but
you
anyway,
some
it's,
advantage.
It's rare that a it true freshman rare. Can do that. Yeah.
Yes, it is rare, and like I said, I think that's a touchdown difference, and we kind of expect this to be a close game. So if you're talking about one player who could be a touchdown difference,
the quarterback,
that's maybe the difference in the game.
I mean, look at Arizona against Utah.
Right. Oh yeah.
I mean, that Arizona wins that game if Dawkins. I mean, not to be frank, if Dawkins isn't the quarterback.
Yeah, Brandon did not play well in that game. He turned the ball over 4 times. I mean, he would be the first one to admit it. We all saw it. It was a game they ended up losing by 6 points. You know, of course, the other factor when you go up to Eugene, and we're both going to be there, is weather and noise. But it's going to be raining. It's going to be really loud. It's going to be there. I think is it their senior night, or did they play at home the following week?
I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that it's their senior night.
Either way, it's going to be a really tough environment. Rich was talking about how a few years ago Before they were going up to Utah, and I guess there was rain or precipitation in the forecast for Salt Lake City, so they literally turned the sprinklers on here in the stadium. He said it's the wettest that he's ever been, the wettest the players have ever been. And so when they actually played in the game, it wasn't that bad. He joked about maybe having to turn the sprinklers on again this week, which would be interesting to see. Of course, you don't want to get anybody hurt slipping on the wet ground out there. But this will be a new challenge for Khalil. He's obviously played in road games now.
But not with weather, not a harsh rain. Road game. Yeah, I mean, what have the road games he's done?
Colorado,
they have a decent crowd, but
and Cal and USC.
This is like a hostile environment. So
this will be more hostile. Yes.
Like Rich said, it's like the fan. It's they sell out all their games. They're loud and they're right on you. Like it's the format of the stadium is different than the Coliseum, which is everybody's up and it's spread right. out and
right. I would say if you polled most people, most college football experts, they would probably put Outson Stadium in the top 10 of the most difficult venues to play. But there are also some history on Arizona's side, right? They have won. They won
Scooby Strip.
The Scooby Strip game back in the day, which was kind of a signature moment.
That was 2014, right?
When they went 2014?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah. Signature moment for the program there. Obviously not quite as much at stake in this game, as Rich alluded to. We kind of forget about this, that they're out of the race in the South. They cannot win the division.
That they're ever in the race is everything.
Right, that's a huge accomplishment. And they're trying to finish the season strong. They're trying to maximize their position for a bowl game. Could be the Holiday Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, the Sun Bowl. A lot of hype. Those are all high-profile games, and they're in play for all of them. And I feel like Khalil Tate would be an attractive option for those blazer-wearing bowl representatives who are showing up to Arizona's games.
And
now
they were at the USC game.
I was
a little under the weather, so I wasn't paying much attention to that stuff.
Yes, Zach, it's nice to have Zach back in action here. Justin, by the way, is on assignment today. Yeah. If anyone was wondering where Justin
Joyner
was,
yeah,
talking about, yeah, he's going to go interview hopefully future Wildcat Jamari Joyner. Maybe could be the next Khalil Tate.
Although that's a lot to live up to, isn't it?
It
just like the glove fits too easily, though, right? Nobody wants him as a quarterback besides Arizona, high school star. Like, I mean, he is in Tucson, so it's a little different than playing in SoCal. But
right, Rich talked about that. He's talked about that a couple times lately, just about the whole recruitment of Khalil.
Yeah, I've written like three long features about that.
Yeah, it's you know, as he said, he can show people the tape now. It's like, look, this is what you can become, or this is how our offense works if you're this kind of player.
And beyond that, a big thing, which from everybody I've talked to is a big factor, is a trust factor where they say they're bringing you in as this. Because how often does a team bring a guy, especially at a school like USC, bring a guy in saying we're recruiting at this position? Oh, we have a guy out there already. Now that you're here, we're going to move you to receiver.
Like, a lot of times it's lip service.
I mean, Cam Benson went through that.
He did. And I feel like it's really important to gain these guys' trust. You know, recruiting is a lot about relationships, right? So, you know, if the players, the prospects feel good about what the coaches are saying, if they believe them and trust them, then you got a good chance. And he also mentioned today that, you know, in Southern California, a lot of guys know Khalil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so maybe they want to play with him now. We will certainly talk later in the week about sort of the intertwined recruiting situations between Arizona and Oregon. A lot of commits and decommits and guys who ended up in Eugene.
Willie Taggart's risen to the top of the most hated list in Tucson. Anytime you mention him on Twitter, like, Arizona fans come. I make probably a little too few many jokes when it comes to recruiting. There was like a story recently where it was like Willie Taggart's trying to sign all of his recruits by signing them, like, and all the recruits currently in Arizona's class as well. Some people didn't get the joke, the ones that did probably didn't appreciate it.
I'm amazed we made it 20 minutes into this thing without mentioning the words Willie and Taggart in the same sentence.
Yeah, right, but we did it, yeah.
Now, Willie is, he's got that Harbaugh thing a little bit where he's sort of a troll in a way. And I think that's good. I like having that.
Well, by the way, speaking of him, he had a great quote. What was it, the one he said about Khalil Tate?
Oh, someone asked him today, how do you prepare for Khalil Tate or how do you deal with him? And his quote was, pray. So that's kind of where things are at as far as defending the great Khalil Tate these days for the rest of the Pac-12. All right, that's our podcast for today. Thank you for listening. You can check out all of our work at Tucson.com as well as the free Wildcaster app. For Zach, I'm Michael. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.